Deuteronomy 6 verses 1 through 9, these are God's words. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which Yahweh your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear Yahweh your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as Yahweh God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our God, Yahweh is one. You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Our God is a God of grace. The reason we have not all perished is because he has been determined since before the world began, from all eternity, he has been determined to take for himself a people whom he gives every blessing, everything that is actually good in heaven and earth, and everything that will be good in the new heavens and the new earth, are all designed especially, primarily, for the good of those whom he is taking to himself to be his very own people. And of course, the great blessing is not the blessing of all of the created things which he designed and planned and created and sustains in order to bless us with them, but the knowledge of him, belonging to him, having him as Yahweh our God, and being his very own people. He himself is the greatest blessing that he gives. And so he is addressing Israel here, and he is identifying them as his people, and identifying himself as their very own covenant God. And he gives him, or he gives Israel, the way by which he is going to give them to prolong their days. Verse 2, the days theirs, their sons, and their grandsons, covenantally down to the generations, but not just to prolong their days, verse 2, but to fill their days with all of the blessings that he has promised, to multiply them greatly, verse 3, to give them all that he has promised them, including the land flowing with milk and honey, verse 3 as well. And so the means by which he gives us all of the blessings is given then in this passage. It is in some ways a compliment to the fifth commandment. You remember the fifth commandment, wherein he says to us that we are to honor our father and our mother, that our days may be long in the land that he has given us. And Ephesians 6 reminding us that the promise is not yet fulfilled, because the land to which his people have ever looked was never merely that small tract of land in the ancient Near East, in Palestine, but has always been that heavenly country to which Abraham and Moses and others looked, according to Hebrews 11, to which we still look, which we will not inherit, or which they were not going to inherit without us. And so he gives the fifth commandment coming out of the first four commandments, which govern what? They govern the worship of God, whom to worship, and who decides the actions of worship, and the heart with which, and the reverence with which we ought to worship, and the timing of worship, especially the one day in seven. But as we know, and as we see even in this passage, also when we rise up and when we lie down, that the God who gives the one day in seven has given the evening and the morning with which to frame the day, so that the day is always led into with worship and closed with the worship of God. And he fills the worship of God with the word of God. This word which is, of course, the way by which God communicates himself to us, not just instructions for living, not just a system of theology that is to be believed and agreed with, although we should agree with and believe the system of theology in the Bible, not just commandments, to-do list and guidelines and boundaries, all of those things from the Word of God, for how to live, although we should do those things, but his Word especially as his way of communicating himself to us, which is one of the reasons why he even refers to the Son, God the Son, who we know now by that precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Word, who is with God from the beginning. And so the great blessing to which we look from and unto all eternity is the great blessing of each day, that we would have his Word. And his Word, especially then, when we're thinking about our homes, his Word first in our heart, second in our hearing, third upon our hands, fourth in our heads, and fifth upon our homes. First in our hearts, and this is something that comes by our hearing him. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh your God, Yahweh is one. And we are to hear, not just with the ear, but with the hearing of the heart. You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Hearing is an act of love unto God. And love unto God is, in the first place, an act of hearing. We're not to love a God of our imagination. We're to love him who speaks to us. We're to know him by what he says, and love him as he describes himself to us, as he communicates himself to us. Our whole being is to be given to him. This is why these words, verse 6, which the prophet was commanding them, and these words, this whole Bible that we have, are to be in our hearts. Hiding them in our heart, yes, there is an application to memorization, and we use the phrase sometimes that way, but it means especially to have his Word at the core of our being, because his Word is how he has given himself to us, and we love him with all that we are, even as he has given himself in all that he is unto us. And so first we're to have his Word in our heart. And if we have his Word in our heart, then his Word should often be in our hearing, because he has made us to be speaking creatures. There are no other speaking creatures. There are creatures that have signs and ways of communicating with sounds, but they're not self-reflective beings who communicate themselves to one another by their speech. God has given us to have that in common with himself. And the most important thing to be communicated among people who have him in their hearts, by having his Word in their hearts, is that we would communicate him to one another, and we would communicate his Word to one another. And especially since he has given us to have children who must learn and grow, not just in wisdom and stature, but especially in favor with God and their relation to him, in favor with men and their relation to others, that our children would learn to love God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength by the words that they hear that come out of hearts of parents who love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that we would learn to love one another in this greatest way, that we would build one another up in the grace of God, in faith in the Lord Jesus, in love for God, which especially we do by our speech, which is why our speech must be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we might be able, might be used to edify one another. Well, when specifically are we to speak and hear the Word of God with one another all the time? When we sit in the house, when we walk by the way, our houses are the Lord's houses, our activities and duties belong to the Lord. But then there are those particular times when we are retiring for the night, or when we have just arisen in the morning, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And so there is the all the time in every action. But this comes especially as it flows out of those set times we have together as a family, as a household, considering God's word in his worship, like we are doing even now. And so his word needs to be in our heart, it needs to be in our hearing, it needs to be upon our hands. One of the things that we consider when we worship him, one of those things that we're talking about as we go through the life of the day, is how the Bible directs what we should do and how we should do the things that we do. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. Not saying then to tattoo Bible verses on your hand, unless you had some kind of wonderful nano tattooing. You could hardly get the whole Bible on your hand anyway. But the whole Word of God should control everything we extend our hand to do. Anything that we go to do apart from whom we know God to be, whom we know he has made us to be, and to be unto him, and all that his word says. Anything we do apart from his word, we would be sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin, and faith is being convinced of and devoted to, dependent upon, in agreement with the word of God. And so his word is therefore to be in our hearts and in our hearing and on our hands and in our heads as well, controlling our thoughts. His words shall be as frontlets between our eyes, so placed upon our foreheads, as it were, or like spectacles. They didn't have spectacles, but we do, and they make for an excellent illustration of what he's saying here, so that his word always filters for us what we pay attention to and how we see and think about and consider and interpret the things that we see, that we would not be left to ourselves and our sin, as this culture more and more is. And we see what blasphemy against God and what destruction of the self and what harm to others has come from not having a focus upon the things that the Lord teaches us to focus upon, the things that are true and lovely and pure, and so forth, and not seeing and analyzing, interpreting, considering things according to how his word teaches us to think of them. But that must not be so for the believer who has God, and who especially has God by his word, and whose word is controlling their experience of the Lord, the Creator, and of all the creation, and who are speaking and hearing his word, extend our hands according to his word. His word also ought then to fill our heads, should control our thoughts, should shape how we think and understand, what our priorities are, and what we desire. And therefore, if you have a house full of such people, that ought to be the Bible house. Our congregation's name, and even this area on some maps, the name of the road that we live on, it's all called Hope Well, because the first well that produced consistent drinking water in the area was here. Well, if someone was familiar with the way that we thought, and the way that we lived, the worship that framed every day, we would want them perhaps to, we would want it to be appropriate for them to nickname that family the Bible family, because, or the worship family, because they're always talking about God's word and interacting in his word and worshiping God through his word. This is the idea of writing it on the doorpost of the house and on the gates, that the way a people are identified with God is by being full of his word and his worship. And so we ought to be a worshiping people and a word people, so that we may be a people who find our blessedness, find our identity in the Lord himself. And may God give us to do so. And may God help us as we come on the Lord's Day and in a week from tomorrow afternoon to hear those things preached from His Word. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for your Spirit who is always directing us to and giving us yourself in your Son by your Word. And we pray that He would continue to write this and all of the passages of your Word upon our hearts so that we would know you and love you and delight in you and live for you and submit to you and obey you and be taught by you. O Lord, give us, we pray, a life with one another that reflects the life that we pray that we would have with you yourself. For we ask it in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus, even the Word himself made flesh. Amen.